Blog Talk Radio.
Can't stay here asleep to how you're moving. I can't stay here complacent anymore. I can't stay here. My heart is full of longing. I can't stay here. I
know what I'm made for. You're breathing new life into dry bones. I hear the echo, the sound of heaven's song. Your spirit's calling me. I know it's time to go. I can't stay here anymore.
And I can't stay here. I've awakened to your whisper. I can't stay here. You tell me there is more. I can't stay here. My heart beats like thunder. I can't stay here. Oh, I'm running for the door. You're breathing new life into dry bones. I hear the echo, the sound of heaven's song. Your spirit's calling me. I know it's time to go. I can't stay here anymore.
My heart is
I'm ready for glory. I'm ready.
Hello, everybody. This is Prophetess Stacey. I'm having a little technical difficulty with the music, so just be patient. But thank you for being here, everybody. I truly appreciate it. The first song I played was Adore by Jackie Velasquez. The second song is I Can't Stay Here by David and Nicole Binion. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to work something out. This is live, so just pray. And we're going to begin right after this. Text me right quick and tell me if you can hear music on your end. She says that she can't hear it. Thank you, Father Spade. The devil's trying to fight this word because I ain't never had that happen before. It looks like music is playing on my end. So. But nevertheless, God will prevail tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for everybody that's gathered here for this word on tonight, God. I pray that this word blesses them, God, the way that it blessed me, God. Touch every listener, God, whether they're listening live now or to the replay, God. I ask that you touch them in a mighty way, God, in the name of Jesus. Once again, this is Prolific Fire, and of course, I am your humble host, Prophetess Stacey. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in on tonight. Devil, you a liar. This word will go forward. The foundational text for tonight is Esther, chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 11. Also, I'm going to skip and read verses 17 through 23. Also, I'm going to read Esther, the 6, verses 1 through 12 from the NIV. Esther 2. Every day, Mordecai walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all the nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the province and distributed gifts with royal liberty. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. But Esther kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions, as she had done when he was bringing her up. During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigtamer and Teresh, two of the king's officials who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in return reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were impaled on poles. The AMPC says they were hung on gallows. All this was recorded in the book of the Annals in the presence of the king. Now let's look at Esther chapter 6 right quick. That night, the king could not sleep, ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigtamer and Teresh, two of the king's officials who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing has been done for him. His attendants answered. The king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling, hanging Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. His attendants answered, Haman is standing in the court. Bring him in. Bring him in, the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe that the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on his head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Afterwards, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief. On May 19, 2018, the weekend prior to my birthday, the whole world, it seemed, was all abuzz about the royal wedding. About the wedding of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. I'll never forget it. People got up extra early just doing extra so they could watch this wedding. The pairing of these two that was televised live from St. George Chapel at Windsor Castle in the United Kingdom. All the major social media platforms were bombarded with posts and reposts, tweets and retweets about this wedding. Video clips and photos of the royal couple were everywhere and easily accessible. It's safe to say that the world was sharing their big day. In that moment, little girls and big girls too dreamed of being Meghan Markle and marrying Prince Harry, or Prince like Prince Harry. And when the news broke that she was divorced and this royal wedding was actually Meghan Markle's second attempt at love forever after, women all over the country felt a sigh of relief and hope that their own love lives could somehow be restored and be restored in a major way, just like Meghan's. But I'm kind of different. What impressed me the most was not the royal wedding, or that the bride was divorced, and this was her second chance. Even though I must admit, that little bit of info was impressive, as I am one that definitely believes in second chances. Still, what impressed me the most was a picture that hit the news and went viral just prior to the wedding. It was a picture of Meghan Markle and a friend at age 15. Posing outside the gate of the Buckingham Palace. The caption read, Royal family fan to a princess. Meghan Markle playfully poses like any other tourist outside Buckingham Palace doing summer tour of Europe at age 15. When I saw that, I was floored in my spirit. I was like, God, you did this for her. You put a love for the royal family in her heart, and then, unbeknownst to her, you took her on a tour of her future at age 15. God, you wanted her to see where she would end up. God, you put that desire in her heart for the royal family. You showed her a glimpse of it when she was posing outside of the gate with a friend. And then years later, you gave it to her. And the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37:4, New King James. God, you did this for her. That's what was buzzing. That's what was buzzing in my spirit. That's what I was buzzing about the whole weekend while everybody else was talking about the wedding. Spirit, I was buzzing about, God, you did this for her. I'm sure she never imagined back then she would be anything more than a fan, playfully posing on the outside of the gate, outside the Buckingham Palace. Sure, she probably dreamed of being a princess. Most little girls do. But really? Yes, really. Because now, some 21 years later, divorced and fully recovered from heartbreak. Hear me, she was divorced and fully recovered from heartbreak. And she was about to marry her prince and become a part of the royal family and officially be on the other side of the gate. And it is said that if Meghan and Prince Harry should have children, the names and gender of their children would be posted outside the Buckingham Palace. It would be posted outside the Buckingham Palace first before it goes viral on social media. Look at God. This is the same Buckingham Palace that Meghan and a friend were posing in front of at age 15, but now Meghan is no longer just a fan posing. She's been upgraded. Somebody said she's been upgraded. She is now Duchess Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, on the other side of the gate. On the other side of the gate. Tonight's message. Now let's get into tonight's foundational text, because Meghan Markle, the Duchess, wasn't the only one that spent some time hanging out by a gate. Prior to her life being changed forever, she was not the only one that spent some time hanging out by a gate. In tonight's text, we find Mordecai, Esther's adopted father, sitting at the king's gate. He was sitting at the king's gate doing what fathers do, protecting. He was serving. He was warding off any potential danger by warning first his daughter, who would relay the message to the king. A faithful guard, unofficial perhaps to the king, but most of all a faithful father to Esther. The Bible says every day Mordecai would walk back and forth near the courtyard of a harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. So just imagine during one of those times when Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, him overhearing that Big Tainer and Teresh, two of the king's officials who guarded the doorway, plotting to assassinate King Zurich. Just imagine him overhearing that, overhearing two of the king's officials who guarded the doorway plotting to assassinate the king, plotting to assassinate King Zurich, his daughter's husband. Immediately he went and told Esther, warning her because what affected the king would directly affect her too. Esther then told King Zurich, giving the credit to Mordecai for the discovery. An investigation takes place, and when the assassination was proven to be a legitimate threat, plotted out against the king by two of his officials, they were dealt with appropriately. And Mordecai went on about his normal routine. It was life as usual for him. But wait a minute, because I don't think you understand tonight. I don't think you understand. See, Mordecai stopping a death threat on King Zurich's life would be like him stopping someone from harming our president. It was a big deal. It was a big deal that went unrewarded for years. It was a big deal that went unrewarded for years. Normally, an act of loyalty like that would be rewarded immediately by the Persian king. But the commentary revealed that he would that it would be about 5 years. But the commentary revealed that it would be about 5 years before Mordecai is rewarded, meaning there was about 5 years of activity in between what happened in chapters 2 and chapter 6, which is tonight's foundational text. But there was 5 years in between the two. There was 5 years of activity in between what happened in chapter 2 and in chapter 6. So Mordecai probably felt like his job was on the outside of the gate. Leave all the inside stuff to Esther. As long as she was okay. As long as she's okay. As long as my baby is okay. I'm okay with sitting at this gate. Sitting at the king's gate. You see, Mordecai had a father's heart. So as long as his baby was okay, as long as his daughter was okay, he was okay just sitting right there at the king's gate. Therefore, like Meghan Markle, he probably never pictured himself being on the other side of the gate, being treated like royalty. For real, no dreaming. Oh, but just when Mordecai had played down what he had done in his mind, sighing that it was nothing more than what any other good father would do, that's when the king couldn't sleep. Hear me tonight. Just when Mordecai had played down what he done like it was no big deal, stating that that's what any good father would do, that's when the king couldn't sleep and ordered that a book of his reign be brought in and read to him. Somebody listen in. Just when you've lost hope and have pushed your every accomplishment aside, just when you've lost hope and have pushed your every accomplishment aside as though it was really nothing, it's been too many years. Somebody, that's too many years. God is not going to come through for me now. It's been too many years. God is not going to come through for me now. God says, I see your loyalty, and I would call somebody in a high power position not to be able to sleep. The same way the king couldn't sleep until he blessed Mordecai, God says, I see your loyalty, and I would call somebody in a high power position not to be able to sleep until he or she finds you and blesses you. See, you may have given up the way Mordecai had played down what he had done for the king, thinking that God is never going to come through for you now because it's been too many years, but the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. God says he sees your loyalty and he's going to bless your loyalty. King Xerxes discovers the books were off. There was no mention of Mordecai being rewarded for saving his life all those years ago. It was a deed that the king had definitely not forgotten. So he sends Haman, of all people, the man who hated Mordecai and was secretly trying to get him hung. This is the man the king sends out to fetch Mordecai and bring him in on the other side of the gate to be robed. He brought him in on the other side of the gate to be robed in one of his royal robes and led out on horseback into the streets, proclaiming, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. 5 years later, here Mordecai was being blessed, honored, publicly approved of like this, and with his enemy of all people leading the way. You can't tell me that God is not a good God. 5 years prior to all of this happening, God put Mordecai in the right place at the right time to overhear some things and expose the king's enemy so that in return the king would bring him on the other side of the gate. Meghan Markle was a teenager. God put her outside the Buckingham Palace. He let her see a glance of her future, a glance of what was on the other side of the gate. Years later, though it might have felt and looked like she had lost her way, somebody tonight, I know it feels like, it seems like you've lost your way. That's how it looks to you and to everybody else but God. Years later, though, it may have felt like and looked like she lost her way, like she had gotten sidetracked by a wrong relationship, a wrong marriage that ended in divorce. Still, she made it. God was guiding her. He was directing her footsteps. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. That's what the word says. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Psalm 37:23 from the New Living Translation. She made it. She's now on the other side of the gate. And just like she made it, and just like she made it to what was on the other side of the gate for her, you must believe that you can make it too. You can make it to what's on the other side of the gate for you. God is no respecter of persons, meaning he has no favoritism. God is no respecter of persons, meaning he has no favoritism. Acts 10:34, King James Version. He did it for her. He'll do it for you. That's all I want to tell somebody tonight. He did it for her. He will do it for you. You may have been through a divorce, and you feel like your time clock is running out. He did it for her. He'll do it for you. She made it to the other side of the Buckingham Palace gate and is married to her prince, Prince Harry. But, love, I want you to know tonight that dreams do come true when they are God ordained. Dreams do come true when they are God ordained. The Bible says, for a dream comes with much business and painful effort. Ecclesiastes 5:3 from the AMPC. Somebody, think of all the pain that you've been through. Think of all the pain you've been through as not just pain. Think of it as not just pain, but pain for effort. Effort, a vigorous or determined attempt that is working to manifest your dreams. Again, effort is a vigorous or determined attempt that is working to manifest your dreams. Therefore, tonight, I want you to think of all the pain you've been through, but don't just think of it as pain, but a pain for effort that is working to manifest your dreams. Remember also that the Bible says, all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, New King James. So why should you doubt that now? Why should you doubt that all things are working together for you? Things are not easy. Just because the road has not been easy, why should you doubt that now? It's all working for your good. It is all working for your good. What if I told you Meghan Markle had to go through a divorce before meeting Prince Harry? What if I told you that? She had to go through a divorce for two reasons. Number one, she had to go through a divorce to be able to distinguish what's good for her and what's bad for her, specifically when it comes to being in a one-on-one relationship. You see, pain will teach you some things. Oh, yes, it will. Pain will teach you some things if you let it teach you. Pain will teach you some things if you let it teach you and not just turn into bitterness. Number two, she had to go through a divorce. She had to be damaged. That's right, she had to be damaged just a little bit. She had to be damaged just a little bit to get her to slow down, to take a break from dating, and just heal and trust God. Just like some of you, you had to go through whatever you went through to damage you just a little bit to get you to slow down and get you to trust God. Somebody, you had to go through whatever you went through. It had to damage you just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit to slow you down and get you to trust God. And in tonight's text, what if I told you Mordecai had to wait 5 years before being rewarded? He had to wait 5 years before being rewarded just to make Haman, his enemy, think that the table that was being set by the king was for him. Remember in the text, Haman thought King Xerxes was talking about honoring him. So he suggested the best of the best, one of the king's royal robes, a horseback ride through the city, etc. He suggested all that good stuff because he thought he just knew the king was talking about him. Somebody, be encouraged tonight, because God will make your enemies show you off. Be encouraged tonight, because God will make your enemies show you off when it's your time. I hear God saying, I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Psalm 23:5, NIV. Until then, you have to know how to fake your enemies out. That's what I said. Until then, you must know how to fake your enemies out while still trusting God. Know how to fake them out while still trusting God. You can't give up trusting God and fake them out too. You got to fake them out and still trust and believe in God that He's going to do it for you. Understand that tests are going to come along the way. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Of course, tests are going to come along the way. The Bible says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Who tested Joseph's character? The Lord tested Joseph's character. Psalms 105 and 19, New Living Translation. Truth is, here's the truth. You don't know what God is going to do. Or has already done. You don't know what God is going to do or what he has already done. You don't know the things now that are going to tie you to your future. Just like Meghan Markle didn't know that her trip to Europe at 15 would somehow tie into her future. Just like Mordecai didn't know sitting out in front of the king's gate would somehow tie into his future and get him on the other side of the gate with a royal robe on being honored out into the streets. He didn't know that, but all of it ties together. But this is what you do know. You know this, and I want you to hold on to this tonight. You know this. You know that all things work together, Romans 8:28. And you know that God has something arranged. Many of you can feel it. You know God has something arranged. Somewhere, that's for sure. 1 Corinthians 2:2-9 from the Message Bible says, No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. The AMPC says, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps prepared. What God has prepared, made, and keeps prepared, keeps ready for those who love him. Somebody tonight, not only has God arranged something for you, not only does he have something prepared for you, but what he has for you is something that he made and keeps ready for you. He keeps it ready for you. Can't nobody else get it. You may feel like you're too old, like time is running out, your time clock is ticking, you're divorced, you're going through this, you're going through that, but if God has it for you, and I know that he does, it's yours. Who knows, maybe you've been like Meg and you saw a glance of it. You like Mordecai, you saw a glance of it. You just don't know it yet, but it's all coming together. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Now, there's a theory. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's called six degree of separation. It's called six degree of separation, which was proposed by Frigis Carinthini in 1929. The theory says that each of us is just six introductions. Each of us is just six introductions away from any other person on the planet. Imagine just being six introductions, six hellos from any other person on the planet. If somehow this proves to be true, just imagine the people you could end up meeting. Just imagine the people you can end up meeting, God willing, all a part of his master plan to get you on the other side of the gate. Somebody say, if he did it before, he'll do it again. Somebody say, if he did it before, he'll do it again. He'll do what's necessary to get you on the other side of the gate. Father God, help us all keep the faith and stay faithful to your way, your truth, and the life you taught us. Help us be in such a hurry that we skip over a lesson that you were trying to teach us that would enhance our blessing all the more, that will empower our future and launch us unashamedly on the other side of the gate in a prepared place of destiny you have just for us. Help us to trust and believe, even when we don't see or feel anything tangible to which our emotions can draw off of. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, look upon the ones that need to be delivered tonight. Deliver the unsaved. Give them a heart to want to change. and embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you want Jesus tonight, if you listen to the sound of my voice and you know you need Jesus, you want Jesus tonight, whether you're listening live on the phone lines right now, you're online listening live or to the replay or to the podcast, if you know you need Jesus, repeat after me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me clean up the contents of your living space. I am a sinner, but I believe you are Jesus. I believe that you are the only one that can save me. So save me. Amen. If you pray that simple prayer tonight, I want to hear from you. You can email prolificfire@gmail.com. Just simple like that. Email prolificfire@gmail.com. At this time, the phone lines are open. If somebody's on the phone via Blog Talk Radio and you desire prayer, just press 1 on your phone, and I will be glad to pray with you tonight, honored to pray with you tonight. Thank you once again, everybody, for tuning in with me tonight. I had a little bit of technical difficulty in the beginning, but I thank you for sticking it out because this word had to go forth in spite of. Once again, if you desire prayer and you're on the phone lines, just press 1 on your phone, and I will be glad, honored to pray with you on tonight. If not, if you desire prayer or Bible-based consultation at any other time, don't wait till I get live on the air, but if you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can call or text me directly. I don't mind. That's a part of what God called me to do. You can call or text 865-408-90. 865-408-8690. Again, you can email me if you desire to. At prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter. DM me on Twitter if you need to, at prolificfire. Find me on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy. DM me on Instagram if you need to. I'm there. That's why I'm there. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Also, everybody on the sound of my voice, be sure to join one of us. For Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate. It might be her, it might be me. You don't know what God's going to do, but join one of us for Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. Again, it's Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling 347-426-3782, the number that many of you called on tonight. 347-426-3782. And somebody will be glad to take your prayer request and pray with you on that night as well if you desire to. Also, be sure to join me back here same night, same time, same place when the message next week will be Tied Up and Tired. I had another message for next week, but the Lord impressed upon my spirit that I need to talk about being tied up and tired because he knows that many of you, that's what you're going through. You're tied up and you're tired. So be sure to join me back here next week for that message. Until then, God bless each of you. I'm out.